Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is the Grapevine on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And it has been a very, very warm week in the region. Gene Pearson and his Glenora Gazette said that they reported 91.1 degrees down the weather station at the winery. And hard to believe, given they had frost and freezing temperatures just a couple of weeks before this. And so his comment in the Glenora Gazette is that the consequence of those 91-degree temperatures and generally very warm for most of the week was a significant bud and cane growth if the vines continue growing and maturing at this rate. We would be harvesting in late July. And he says, note that we are just kidding, as we do not want the influencers picking this up and reporting an early harvest. So no predictions of early harvests, but just a recognition that things are growing really fast right now. They're not going to be picking in late July. Maybe late August, that's generally when the first harvests begin. Also reports on the temperatures in Keuka Lake kind of keeps track of that as a gauge of the weather, and the Keuka Lake right now is 61 degrees, which is the same temperature it was at this time last year. So in spite of a cool April and May, at least Keuka Lake has caught up in terms of temperatures. Gene is announcing that there will be a Father's Day chicken barbecue at the winery. He says, for the most part, this will be a takeout dinner, although if Phase 3 really happens, guests could enjoy the same on the patio or on the terrace. We decided to do this after we learned that the Dundee Fire Department was not going to hold their annual Father's Day barbecue. They didn't want to conflict with that or compete with that. It says we'll be donating a portion of the proceeds to the Dundee Fire Ambulance Department, as they are guaranteeing that we will not burn the chickens. So the Father's Day chicken barbecue will happen at Glenora, and it's really crucial that we continue on this trajectory and we're able to open tasting rooms and restaurants and things, at least to socially distanced tasting and eating. One of the other things that Gene talks about sometimes in his Glenora Gazette are kind of behind the scenes. And one of his comments this week, he says, as a result of what appears to be renewed interest regarding ingredient nutritional labeling for wine, Gene spent more time this past week researching that. The Tax and Trade Bureau, the TTB, has oversight for wine labeling, apparently has no interest in this subject at this time. It seems to be a moot point. He says, as a side note, ingredient nutritional labeling for a bottle of wine would be more challenging than for a can of soup. As generally speaking, a can of Grandpa Scott's soup does not change ingredients annually, where a bottle of wine is different each vintage, which would mean that every year each wine would need to be tested at a cost of $350 to $500 per wine label. And between Glenora and Knapp, they have about 60 different labels. That would add up to about $30,000 annually. He says, we do label our wines to let our customers know that they are vegan and gluten-free. You might wonder about the nutritional labeling of wine, you know, different grapes probably have different levels of nutrition. Wineries may add yeast, things like that. So in terms of ingredients, it's not like they're adding apple juice or, you know, other non-grape juices, things like that, but additives like yeast and used to ferment the wine, the juice, many wines have sulfur added to them. And again, the nutritional part of it would vary. At least some based on the grape. And also the sweetness of the wine, that varies year to year. So kind of interesting thinking about what's the kind of regulations that that wineries have to deal with, or potential regulations in this case. And also the note that their wines at Glenora are vegan, that's because they don't use egg whites to fine the wines. A fining agent is something that's used to clarify the wine, make it look sparkling clear, and egg whites are often used. But there are things like bentonite is one non-egg product that's used that perhaps is one of the things they use at Glenora in place of egg whites. So it's one of those things that probably most vegans don't realize, that they may be drinking wine that has egg whites have been used. Don't know how much of those egg whites are actually remain in the wine. I would venture it's not very much, but they have had contact with the wine. The point of the egg whites, from what I understand, is that they kind of attach to dead yeast cells or whatever is in the wine, and making it look slightly cloudy or at least not perfectly clear. And so the idea is that those egg whites take that out, and then you remove them, filter them, and so I don't know in terms of chemistry how much of egg whites are left in wine, but there are alternatives, and Glenora is one of the wineries that's been doing this now for quite a few years. So the season is off and running. Wineries are releasing new wines. Fox Run released a canned dry red wine for the first time, and they had Riesling and Chardonnay and their Arctic Fox, which is made with Cayuga grape. They'd had that available in cans already, and now they've added this Cabernet Lemberger blend. So if you enjoy dry red wine, but you don't want to have a glass bottle, maybe because it's heavy, maybe because you want something more compact for taking with you or packing, or whatever reason, they are available in cans now. And probably a continuing trend over the next few years, we'll see more and more wineries offering wine in cans. Belangelo offers some. Point of the Bluff has them. Three Brothers Winery, they have wine in cans. And there's probably a bunch more. Those are the main ones that I've seen recently. And Fox Run, of course, has expanded theirs now. And it's delicious. It is a little odd for someone who is used to opening wine, usually with a cork, but sometimes a screw top, and to open what would normally be a can of beer or a can of soda, and the sound that you get when you crack the top of it, and then have wine in the can is it just feels a little odd, but for newer generations, of up-and-coming wine drinkers, they won't think twice about it. It'll be something fairly normal. And as we try more of these, you discover that the wine tastes delicious. You can pour it from the can into a wine glass if you like. You can, it was a restaurant, Tuvine, when they were open, they had mason jars as their wine glasses, which really probably reduced breakage a lot and made dishwashing much easier to have mason jars for wine glasses. And I've done that fairly often at home just because I didn't want to wash a wine glass. The mason jars work pretty well, or pretty much anything. So if you can't get out of, you can't get your mind over drinking wine out of a can, you can just pour it into a mason jar, and it'll probably be delicious. So lots of options with cans these days in the region, and you'll see it in other states maybe, but in wine shops, cans of wine available from around the country and probably some from around the world. The Finger Lakes is jumping on board this trend, and they are delicious. And by the way, the Arctic Fox that's in the can at Fox Run, a lot of people might not try the Arctic Fox because it is Cayuga grape and it's not a vinifera grape. It's very inexpensive wine, but it's really good. And I did a blind tasting a few years ago with Relax Riesling, which is German, and is sort of the Liebfrau Milch Blue Nun of the 2000s. It's billed as a semi-dry Riesling. And in a blind tasting, I really couldn't tell the difference between Relax Riesling and Arctic Fox from Fox Run, which is a totally different grape, Cayuga, and also pretty inexpensive wine. And so I think, at least from my perspective, unfortunately, the mass-produced German Riesling, Relax Riesling in this instance, you lose the Riesling character. And I guess it shouldn't be surprising that a mass-produced product would not have much distinctive character. But keep that in mind as you are choosing wine. Inexpensive wines from around the world serve a purpose, but they might not taste much like Riesling, at least in this case. And maybe do your own blind tasting at some point. I mean, really, you get a can of Arctic Fox and a bottle of Relax Riesling and pour them where someone can't see what you're pouring from and see if they can tell which is which. I don't think it's going to be easy to do. And that's unfortunate because it gives Riesling a sort of a ding in their reputation to have wines that are, it's decent wine, it's just not, doesn't have much Riesling character. And it becomes kind of generic at that point. It's just a white wine. It's not a Riesling. So that's what mass production can give you. And that's unfortunate for the world of Riesling. So again, semi-dry Riesling, which is kind of similar to a semi-dry Cayuga White, the Arctic Fox in this case, from Fox Run. The phone number here, 585-346-3000. You can also email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors on WYSL 1040.
The days of wine and roses lie
child at play through the meadowland toward a closing door, a door marked nevermore.
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of The Grapevine. Those include Fox Run Vineyards and Anthony Road Wine Company. Fox Run, as I mentioned, is producing a dry red Cabernet Merlot, or Cabernet Limburger blend in a can now. They have a number of other wines available by the can and some delicious dessert wines. They're tawny port-style wine and a regular port-style are fabulous in a small bottle. Makes a really nice gift if you're thinking about shipping wine to someone. Maybe include one or two of those along with some of the bottles of Chardonnay and Riesling. Maybe their Cabernet or some of their red blends. Some delicious wines from Fox Run, and you can have them shipped to you. Fox Run Vineyards. .com and get more details. Just south of them, 2 miles south of Fox Run, is Anthony Road Wine Company. And I often mention their skin-fermented white wines because there are not many like it around the region. And these are the same grapes that you're used to drinking, Riesling and Chardonnay and things like that, but they are fermented on the skins, and I love the flavors that develop when you do that. The color develops a little bit, but it's really the flavor. And what a fun tasting to get one of the skin fermented one and the non more traditional fermented without the skins white wines and taste them side by side. Excellent dry reds, dessert wine. They do have vignoles at Anthony Road. So again, go to anthonyroadwine.com. Get more details. They also are shipping wine, and both Fox Run and Anthony Road also ship wine to Europe. They've been exporting to Europe for quite a few years now, and you know, it's maybe surprising to people who don't realize just how much wine is being shipped to Europe, which has plenty of wine, but not the value, the style of wine that we're making here. And Fox Run, Anthony Road have been some of the leaders in bringing Finger Lakes wines to Europe. It's foxrunvineyards.com, anthonyroadwine.com. Also brought to you by Sarah's Garden Center in Brockport, one of the destination garden centers here in our region. And that means no matter where you live, you should make the drive to Sarah's at some point to see their gardens, to pick up some really wonderful plants, and whether it's annuals, perennials, hanging baskets, they have many to choose from. Lots of great vegetables and herbs. It's sarahsgardencenter.com. And make sure to walk out back to see their gardens. It's stonework, and gardens are gorgeous. The edging that they do on these gardens alone is striking. It feels like a manicured garden. So sarahsgardencenter.com, 389 East Avenue in Brockport. And maybe head west at some point this next week and visit Arrowhead Spring Vineyards. They are in Lockport and just an hour and a half from Rochester. It's arrowheadspringvineyards.com. They have a traditionally made ice wine, also many dry reds to choose from, and they're planting more red grapes, Pinot Noir, Syrah, Cabernet, many to choose from, and beautifully made. The dry reds are stunning. They also do Chardonnay and recently have several whites, but make sure to get some dry reds. They ship wine. You can also pick them up there and have a pretty drive out to Lockport area and just an hour and a half away. Arrowheadspringvineyards.com. And finally, brought to you by Rohrbach's. They are the craft brewer that's been here since 1991, has been key in helping to launch the boom of breweries here in our area, in our region, quite a few of the brewers have worked at one point or another at Rohrbach's. John Erlab, the owner, has been a big part of the New York Restaurant Association, the public market district where their beer hall is located, some delicious beer. Try the Space Kitty, their double IPA, perhaps their pineapple wheat, maybe the classic Scotch ale. Many different beers to choose from. Both locations are doing takeout, both the Beer Hall on Railroad Street and the Brew Pub on Buffalo Road. So maybe experiment. Get some beers you haven't tried when you pick up some takeout. So Rohrbach's.com for more information. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on The Grapevine.
Here we sit enjoying the shade.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Drink the drink that I have made.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Tell you why the day is sunny. I'm in love with lips of honey. Will you see the way she walks? Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is The Grapevine on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And the sunshine, cool weather, certainly welcome after 93 degrees here in Rochester. That was a bit shocking to have it that warm. And I love this cool temperature. So great chance to get out in the garden, and the Brighton Farmers Market is open this morning. More flexible today than last week. Last week it was pre-order and prepay only. Today and going forward, they're planning to, you can shop at the market, so you don't have to have pre-ordered and prepaid. Not all vendors may do it that way. You can go to brightonfarmersmarket.org and get more details. Maybe specific vendors you may be going to see at the Brighton Market, but it is open, and that's until 1 o'clock, 9 to 1, Brighton High School parking lot. And they are asking you, you have to wear a mask, and the vendors will be doing that, of course, and they will have the vendors probably spaced a little further apart. So you'll see some changes if you head over there this morning. But nice to have the flexibility of being able to buy on site and not just pre-order. So Brighton Farmers Market is open. And on Saturdays, some of the vendors from the Brighton Farmers Market do a small market at Newbury Park Pastries. And they have six or seven vendors that do that on Saturdays from basically 11 to 3. And as we get into June, usually around early mid-June, some of the regional urban, suburban, and rural farmers markets open for the season. And I think some may hold off a few weeks. Some may open on schedule. Some may choose not to open. It will probably vary quite a bit. But let me know as you hear about our local markets. We have a 19th Ward Market, the West Side Farmers Market, that usually would open in mid-June, and I would expect, again, some of these will open, some may postpone opening. Also, Rochester Food Net has some new posts. You should check out breakfast sandwiches from Vula's Greek Sweets, article Chris Clemens put together, with reviews of the breakfast sandwiches at Vula's. We got takeout, and so there are, you know, half a dozen reviews of these sandwiches. I thought they were delicious. Both are vegan and non-vegan options for these breakfast sandwiches, which are essentially wraps. Love the spicy kaftari that's included with them. In order to write the review, I had to get one of each sandwiches. Wouldn't have to, but couldn't resist doing that. And they don't look very big, but they are filling. You don't really need two. I can say that. But I did get some baklava also, which was excellent. So RochesterFoodNet.com, you can read about the Vula's Greek Sweets, and also Nat Wilcox's Slow and Very Good Beef Stew, that Adam Wilcox wrote about his brother's recipe, and Karen Cross Smith, her article and recipe for depression cake, which she says it's not what you might think. And then Chris Clemens did a post about the ice cream connection trail in Livingston County. We did interviews about it yesterday. And there are 16 places to visit in Livingston County, actually 14, and then two others that are right on the edge of Livingston County that are part of this connection trail. And some really cool places. So if you want a link to get the brochure, you can get it online and start heading out to visit some of these places this summer and check them off. If you get them all checked off with initials from those places, then you can be eligible for some prizes. You turn them in early October. Lots of time to go visit them. And again, 16 spots. Several are restaurants that also offer ice cream. And some of them are well-known. Some of them probably haven't heard of. Some of them in, not far away, Caledonia, maybe half an hour away from Rochester. Others in Nunday and Geneseo, Attica. It's really quite a range of places offering ice cream. And the rhubarb sauce that Kishawa was, they're in Nunday, that they were making sounds really good. I seriously might drive down to Nunday to have the rhubarb sauce on some ice cream. Great excuse to get out and, again, wear a mask when you go and visit places. And that's to protect other people that are in line with you or own the business, that are working for the business. Wear a mask and show your respect for them and protect them in case you are asymptomatic, which is common. Supposedly up to 30 or 31% of people who get the coronavirus may be asymptomatic and potentially spreading it, although asymptomatic means you don't have the symptoms, you don't know. So that's the reason to wear a mask. Get a decorative one. Actually, the Kishawa website or their Facebook page has a photo of, maybe it's Pam Washington, the owner, maybe one of her employees, with a mask to look like the face of a cow licking its lips. It's pretty extraordinary. So that would get some laughs as you're going around and going to the grocery store, or doing what you need to do, or at work. I don't know if she's selling them there at Kishawa, but it may just be someone made it for. Not sure. The phone number, write it down for future reference, 585-346-3000. You can also email me, michael@saverlife.com, if you know something happened you don't hear me mention. We have a special guest with us from Rochester's only and first urban winery. It's Living Roots Winery, Colleen Hardy. Good morning, Colleen.
Hey, how are you?
Doing pretty well. How are you on this sunny day?
Yes. Interesting times for sure. But we're doing well.
I said Rochester's first urban winery. Did you set out to be an urban winery, or did you just end up deciding on a downtown city of Rochester location as you looked around at possibilities around the Finger Lakes and around the region?
So we did set out to open an urban winery. Not necessarily, it definitely evolved over time, and we were actually living in Australia for a few years before we sort of started this project, and it became what it is now. But my husband, Sebastian, so he's a sixth-generation winemaker from Adelaide, South Australia, and he had always been particularly interested in the idea of an urban winery, and there was actually this old building in Adelaide that he'd always sort of had his eyes on. I think it was four stories, and sort of he thought the potential for it to be sort of gravity-fed, with each level being a different sort of phase of the process and set up for the winery. And so I think he'd always sort of played around with the idea of an urban winery in his head, but of course imagining doing it in Australia and probably Adelaide. But yeah, once we met and started, well, we were working in different aspects of the wine industry. His background more so in winemaking, and me a bit more in sort of marketing. And yeah, once we decided it would be nice to, well, I was keen to spend a bit more time at home in Rochester, where I'm from. But then also when we would come and visit my family, Seb was just blown away by the potential for winemaking in the Finger Lakes, and you know, really keen on sparkling wines and aromatic whites. And so we saw a lot of potential, and especially with the distance between Rochester and you know, most of the wineries in the Finger Lakes, we realized that an urban winery could really be a great fit here too. So that's, yeah, sort of evolved over time what the business plan was going to look like and all of that, but yes, urban winery was a sort of primary goal, and then things sort of went from there.
Well, I think you found the perfect building. I love the building you're in. It's a fairly old building, right?
Yeah, it is. Yep, it was. Well, they had a few different phases, but parts of it, yeah, built in 1908, and then I think there was an addition in 1930, and there is a lot of history. There used to be some sort of manufacturing in the building, and yeah, lots of different businesses over time, sort of plant and flower seed packaging company and medical sterilizing equipment being made. And we have a little vault that we use for private events, and you really do use an old sort of combination to get into the vault door. And I guess that used to be used to store sort of patents that were valuable, and then later on a jeweler used it. So yeah, it's some pretty cool history in the building, which, you know, we love tying into. And, you know, with that history with Seb's family being sort of six generations back to 1853 when sort of the winemaking and the Hardy family started. So, you know, bringing in these sort of legacies and historical ties, both from Australia and here in Rochester, is pretty special.
And for people that don't know where you are, it's University Avenue right near Culver. And
yep.
Really, it's kind of developed into more of a walkable, I don't say retail, but you know, you've got Sager Beer Works and the Revelry and Wisteria,
yeah,
Flowers
and
Gifts.
Yeah, Nine Maidens, and yeah, it's really cool. We love this little, you know, part of the city, and we actually live in the building as well, the same building as the winery. So we spend a lot of time in this neighborhood, and yeah, it is a cool little pocket.
You have Muller's Cider House down the road, and and then
Metro Salon. Yeah, and Kin Event Space, sort of owned by Kristen from Root Catering, that's in our building as well. And yeah, it definitely seems like things are popping up each year, which is obviously really exciting for us.
Yeah. So this is kind of a unique idea to make wine in two different continents, two different hemispheres. Are there big challenges in terms of regulations? I can just imagine that, you know, New York State Liquor Authority just doesn't know how to deal with you. I mean, what?
A little bit. So to begin with, especially, I feel like now we've got it down. But to begin with, when we were just starting the application process and setting out to start this business, that was definitely unknown territory. And so it was a little bit, sort of depending on who you talk to, you get different answers, and trying to navigate, you know, what we could and couldn't do. But everybody was, you know, helpful and responsive, and we got to where we needed to be. And now, yeah, we get to serve the wines we make in Australia as well as here, you know, in Rochester from Finger Lakes grapes. And it's definitely complicated. I think now the challenges we face are less so on the legislation and regulation side, but more so just on the complexities of running a business across two continents, especially such a small business. So it's almost like an accountant doing two tax seasons in two different countries. We're just, you know, you don't really ever have a quiet season, because when it would be a little bit slower here, we're in Australia making wine. So we actually just got back about a month ago, I guess. So we were in Australia for a couple of months for harvest. And now we're back and deep in blending mode, prepping to bottle our 2019 Finger Lakes wines. And then, you know, the 2020 harvest will be here before we know it. So I think the biggest challenges come just there's always something happening. It's a never-ending cycle for us of harvest, blending, bottling, do it all over again.
Twice a year, right. That's a good way to put it. I hadn't thought about the tax season part of it. You know, you think of, well, two harvests, that's kind of cool. And then you think two tax seasons, well, that's terrible.
Yeah, I know. And it is cool in a lot of ways. We get to make very different styles of wine in the two countries. We get to spend time with both of our families. And you know, we love both of these regions that we're working in. So it certainly is exciting. And doing two harvests isn't too unusual if you're, you know, a cellar hand or sort of studying winemaking just out of university and you're sort of harvest hopping. So, you know, Seb especially did that a lot sort of during and after his winemaking studies, doing, you know, a harvest in Australia at the beginning of the year and then going to Europe to work in France or Austria or Italy in the fall. But it's a bit different when you're the one making all the decisions. You can't sort of turn up at the start of harvest and hit the ground running. There's a lot more sort of thought and planning and work out, you know, around the harvest. So I think that's where the challenges come in. Yeah, you're not just sort of working the harvest, but you're kind of running it too.
Colleen Hardy is with us, Living Roots Winery on University Avenue. And I was mentioning in the previous hour that Australian wines, you know, people are, you know, probably had Yellowtail and, you know, mass produced Australian wines, but they may not have had, you know, small production, really nice Australian wines, and that's what you offer, right?
Definitely
a different view of Australian wines for a lot of people.
Yeah, we've loved sort of opening people's eyes to different styles of Aussie wines. And it is encouraging to see a bit more around the place. Like it's, as you say, definitely more of the bigger brands and the entry level SKUs that they make. But even, you know, now you go to Pinnacle, Market View, Century, any of those liquor stores, and you can find now some really unique, special wines from Australia, you know, including ours, but many others too. So it's encouraging to see the selection sort of broadening and really focusing on more of those small winemakers. But yeah, we play around with a lot of different styles. So we do make some of the classics like Shiraz and Cabernet, but we also play around with a lot of alternative varieties, especially, you know, there's a lot of Italian varieties that suit the warming climate in Australia really well. They retain the high natural acidity and, you know, they're used to those warmer conditions. So we've worked with Barbera and Teraldego, Nebbiolo. So I think, you know, we like to offer a bit of diversity in our wines, and we definitely, we kind of have something for everyone, just between, you know, whether you want something a little more adventurous or you know what you like and you want a classic.
And the Australian wines, in general, a much warmer climate, so the alcohol levels are different. Pretty drastically different in some cases. And that's a style thing, but it's also, I mean, it's the weather. It's what you have to deal with. So you can you offer both cool climate and warm climate in one tasting room.
Exactly. Yeah, they're such complementary regions. So we focus more on our sparklings, aromatic whites. We love textural whites. So we do a sort of richer style of Pinot Gris, and of course we do a few different styles of Riesling, Chardonnay, and we've done Cabernet Franc from the Finger Lakes, and then this year we'll be bottling our first Pinot Noir from the Finger Lakes, which we're really excited about. But yes, definitely focusing more on the white here, and then more of our reds in Australia, where we make everything from Pinot Noir to a full-bodied Shiraz, and then some fortified as well. So definitely playing into those strengths of the local climate and terroir and all that.
Well, during this shutdown period, I noticed you've been doing some different bottling, sort of single serve bottles. What's available in those? What are you doing?
Yeah, so we, obviously having to close the tasting room, we were brainstorming, how can we bring a bit more of this tasting experience to people's homes? Because I think, our location is such a strength, but it has been a little bit of a challenge as we establish ourselves as a winery, because the vibe almost feels more like a wine bar. And so it's definitely taken a little while for people to register that they can drink our wines at home as well, not just in our tasting room. And so, over time we've built our wine club and certainly have people who are accustomed to picking up bottles, but this last couple of months has really sort of put that to the test and sort of gotten more people aware of the fact that they can still, we're doing curbside pickup and then same day local deliveries within 10 miles of winery. And so it's been great to see people, enjoying them at home and pairing them with different meals that they're cooking or picking up takeout. We wanted people to be able to experience these different styles that we make because we do have such a wide range. And we talked about doing virtual tastings, but, do people really want to open 4 full bottles of wine in a night? Probably not. I mean, they might, no judgments here, but not everybody's going to do that. And so we thought, well, if we can come up with a little tasting pack that's a little more approachable for people and still get to try these different styles. So we, launched these little tasting packs. It's 4 187-mil bottles. So it's, equivalent to a bottle of wine. It's sort of 4 6-ounce glasses, or if you're sharing with someone, you each get sort of a half glass of each wine. And we just like the idea that, you can progress through these different styles and, maybe with your meal, start off with sort of the lighter whites with, some cheese or whatever, salad, whatever you're having, and then sort of progress on throughout the night. So far we've just had sort of one pack option. So it's a mixed 2 whites, 2 reds, and we change the selection every week so that, if people want to do it every weekend, they're going to get 4 different wines. But we've just sort of decided that this upcoming week we're going to expand our options. So we're going to add an all-white pack and an all-red pack so that, there's a little more choice. We'll still choose what 4 wines are in it, but, then if you only know you're going to really want to drink white wines, you're not excluded from the offer. You can still find something. So we're excited to sort of – what was that?
You can get one of each and have 8 wines to sample, 4 reds
exactly.
And 4 whites.
Exactly, yeah. So we, it's been fun, and I think they've been well received. They're very cute. The bottles themselves are, they're just pretty adorable. So we're excited about it. And, I think that's something that could stay even, once we do reopen. As I say, it's been well received, and it makes sense for, that people would want to enjoy sort of the tasting experience at home. So I hope that we can and will keep offering it.
Yeah, I don't know the regulations behind it. It seems like it's something that's one of the regulations that was changed to allow this during the shutdown, or is it something you could have done before?
Because we are the producer, I think it's different for sort of restaurants and bars too. Their takeaway options have changed, but for us, because we are making the wines and we actually have submitted, we have little labels that we've put on them that we've submitted through TTB like we normally would. So we it's just something we hadn't explored before, but it is something we can continue to do. So the 187 mil bottles are, a TTB approved volume. So it is pretty specific. We had some 200 mil bottles that we used for samples, that, Seb uses when he's blending or getting analysis done. But that is not an approved TTB size. So I think that's something where probably during the shutdown now, it would be fine to use those, but long-term it wouldn't. Whereas these 187 mil bottles that we're using and the labels that we've submitted and put on them. Yeah, that's all. That's all approved and good to go. So we shouldn't have any issues going forward. Logistically, they're a little bit challenging because we didn't, you know, have the foresight to bottle straight into these small bottles. We're basically, you know, opening a full 750 ml bottle that we've already packaged, labeled, and all of that, and then we're, you know, pouring it into these small bottles. So, you know, we're really careful putting argon gas, which helps to exclude oxygen and help the wine last a little bit longer. But they are, you know, meant for short-term drinking, and it's a little more labor to be sort of repackaging all of the wine. So it's a little bit of extra work on our part, and they are meant to be sort of consumed within, you know, a week or two. But at the same time, they are pretty fun, and for now, I don't see any reason to stop doing them.
It's not really as much about making money as it is keeping your customers engaged, right, and connected with them.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, of course, it definitely helps with cash flow to have sort of revenue coming in still, and you know, we've been able to keep all of our full-time employees at least, you know, throughout this whole period, and projects like this are great because we're all, you know, brainstorming and making it happen, obviously, you know, setting up the virtual tastings and sort of bottling these wines and updating our web store and all of that. So there is a lot still going on behind the scenes. And as you say, it's, you know, still we want to be top of mind for people. And so having these new offerings is a big part of that. So, you know, it doesn't, of course, make up for all of those lost revenue. And you know, we do a lot of wholesale work with the bars and restaurants that isn't and liquor stores that isn't sort of happening so much at the moment. But yeah, having this interaction with customers and even, you know, the virtual tasting aspect of it. Last night, Good Luck did sort of a date night package, and they featured our tasting packs with it. So they had sort of a three-course meal, and it came with one of our tasting packs, and then we did a virtual tasting. And, you know, we haven't really left the building because we're living and working right here. And so just to be able to share a glass of wine over Zoom with people and chat about the wines and see reactions, it's just really nice to get that human connection.
Well, one would think that with operations in both Australia and the Finger Lakes here that you'd be hedging your bets against, you know, disruptions, business disruptions, or like the wildfires that hit Australia. But this pandemic, you know, is affecting the entire world. So Australia's had issues also, and it doesn't hedge your bets against everything to have operations in two continents. But
no,
it is,
right.
It is something that I wonder in the future if more, say, wineries in California will invest in the Finger Lakes because they need to hedge their bets on climate change and droughts and earthquakes and, you know, the challenges of California, and not to mention cost of property.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we would see, companies around the world, maybe including Australia, investing in cooler climates because...
I wonder that as well. And I think you see it a little bit even within regions. So certainly where we are in Australia, you see a bit of a migration. Obviously, Barossa Valley and McLaren Vale are well known for their sort of bigger styles, but it is getting quite warm, increasingly so, and I think, you know, some styles still do very, very well in those areas, but where in the past you maybe saw Chardonnay or you know, more whites being produced, I think winemakers are kind of focusing more on the Adelaide Hills, which is not far away. It's only, you know, from McLaren Vale to the Adelaide Hills, you get there in 15 minutes, but the altitude difference and the temperature difference is pretty significant. So it is interesting. That's something we focus on a lot, is sort of choosing varieties that really suit the area. And so, you know, we have a lot of flexibility in that because we do work with a number of growers. So my family has a small vineyard on Cupola Lake, and then Seb's family has vineyards in the Adelaide Hills that, you know, we work with both of those properties closely, but we also work with other growers, and we do like the flexibility to say, you know, this variety is really suited to this little region or sub-region. and it retains the high natural acidity. We get the flavors we want without it being overripe. And you know, it is I think more and more important, that sort of site selection, depending on what style you're looking for.
So you go up in altitude, you get a cooler climate.
Yeah, and especially sort of the day-to-night variation is huge. So, yes, in the Adelaide Hills, you get very, very cool nights. I mean, not as cold as the Finger Lakes, of course. But yeah, you get sort of sunny, warm days, but then at night it cools off quite a bit, whereas in McLaren Vale, it's you know, more of a coastal influence, so you get the sea breezes that sort of temper the heat and keep it more consistent, but it just doesn't cool off as at night quite like it does up in the hills. So, yeah, they're definitely suited to sort of different varieties, or at least different styles. So we make an Adelaide Hills Shiraz and a McLaren Vale Shiraz, and they're both, you know, beautiful wines, but very different in style.
Do you have a tasting room in Australia, or just the one here?
Just the one here for now, but we always have grand plans in the works, so we'll see. We do have a bit of a plan for a tasting room in the Finger Lakes, actually. So this is a bit of new news, but we're working on initial plans to open up a tasting room on my parents' vineyard in on Tuca Lake. So that'll be really exciting for us. You know, we're hoping sometime next year to make that happen. And, you know, that's something we're really excited about. And then also potentially a tasting room in Australia. It's a little bit trickier there because we only spend a few months during the harvest period there. So that feels a little more challenging at the moment, but it's something we'd really like to do. And whether it's, you know, just by appointment to begin with or sort of more limited days and hours, we'll see. But yes, we sort of focused our attention here in Rochester and upstate New York to begin with the hopes that, you know, eventually we can have a presence in Australia as well.
It's a cool business model. It's just amazing how far you've come along this path so far in relatively
Thank
few
you.
Years. When did you open?
November 2017. So, yeah, we started making the wines. Our first harvest for Living Roots was in Australia in 2016, so that was sort of February 2016, and then opened the doors to our tasting room here in Rochester November 2017. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy how it's all moved so quickly, and, it's a bit of a whirlwind.
Well, good luck as phase three comes here, hopefully on schedule, phase three of the reopening. But in the meantime, you said you deliver within 10 miles of the winery, which really covers a good portion of greater Rochester.
So we're doing local deliveries, and then we do ship with FedEx too, so we certainly do have people ordering further afield or just coming to pick up. We do curbside pickup, and actually next weekend we are planning to open a little sort of service window. We've got perfect little spot for it. There's a window that opens up behind the bar, and it just goes out onto a little sort of concrete landing, basically, on the side of the building. And it's kind of cool because it's nestled between our sort of big brick warehouse-style building and another really beautiful old brick building. And so it almost feels sort of tucked away, but it's, you know, right there off University. And we're going to open up that window and do a little bit of service through there so that, you know, right now people are pre-ordering either online or calling and then, picking it up or getting it delivered. But for people who just want to swing by and grab something without having to sort of go through the checkout process online or calling, we'll have a little bit of a walk-up window where you could get these little tasting packs, or I think we'll even offer those mini bottles individually. So somebody just wants one or a four-pack or, you know, a full bottle of wine, whatever it is. You'll just be able to walk up in order, which should make it a little bit easier for people as well, especially now that it's getting nicer out.
And those little bottles make great vases too, by the way. I mean, these are great with flowers.
We're using one for that right now.
Right.
Yeah, the good luck sort of date night kit came with a little bunch of flowers, and it was perfect size for these little bottles.
Well, Colleen, thank you for your time this morning. Again, Living Roots Winery, it's livingrootswine.com. Good luck as you continue to reopen. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And, yeah, definitely appreciate the support of everyone in Rochester that we've felt, especially in these last couple of months. So,
all right.
Yes, thank you to everyone.
Have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Colleen Hardy, livingrootswine.com. And, again, you could get one of those four packs and have them ship one of those four packs to someone and have your own tasting of four different wines or eight different wines, and say now are doing the four whites and four reds as an option as well. And I hope that those small bottles survive, the reopening and they're able to justify producing them that way. Again, maybe bottling them directly instead of rebottling them, because I like being able to taste more different wines, and they are adorable little bottles. We will be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants and Discover the Finger Lakes. Again, the Brighton Farmers Market is happening today until 1 o'clock, and you can go and shop on site. At least many, if not most, of the vendors are doing that. You don't have to have pre-ordered as you did last week. So, again, Brighton Farmers Market open until 1 o'clock today. Now the rain is over, the sun is out. Beautiful day for the market. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here on WYSL 1040.